Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we're looking at Scripture. We're looking in Scripture at words of the gospel. Words of the gospel. Now there's a mistake we as preachers make, and that is we assume that people know the basics and know these things about salvation. Now, most preachers, they go to Bible college, and when they go to Bible college, we go through this class called Bible doctrines, and then as we go further, we have systematic theology. That's just a big name for doctrines, a little bit more intense. And so we look at salvation. We learn all the doctrines of salvation, what happens when we get saved. And we make the mistake of assuming that you know. And every once in a while, God has to wake us up when we preach a message like this and people respond and say, "You know, preacher, that was great." And so we assume that you know it. And that's dangerous because you're in a world where salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ is being challenged every day. What we believe. Now they have something going new. The Catholics are worshiping with the Muslims. It's called Chrislam, and it's nowhere near God. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day, and you're born again. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to challenge you, and they're going to challenge you from a worldly intellect. They're going to challenge you from what makes sense logically. Well, it doesn't make sense logically. It doesn't make sense that God was sending his son. He would be born of a virgin, but he did. He was born of a virgin. Why? Because the Bible says so.
Amen.
And so we preachers make the mistake of assuming that. The other thing is, you make the mistake of saying, "I've heard this before."
Right.
And you cannot get in the place where you think, "Well, I've heard this before, so I'm going to think about something, or I'm going to play Candy Crush on my phone, or I'm going to do something here and spend some, get some productive time going." Let me just tell you something. Every time you come to church, no matter how many times you hear the Word of God, you're going to pick up something, or God is going to give you something new and fresh and something that will fortify you as a Christian.
Amen.
And so that's why we're looking at this thing of the gospel. That's why we looked at conviction. That's why we looked at repentance. That's why we looked at faith. And that's why we're looking at regeneration or being born again. So we're on the third and last message of being born again. And I want us to think about that. Let's look at John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3, and let's read through these scriptures. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now what happened? Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus responds to him. He says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, what he's talking about the physical birth, and he's talking about the spiritual birth. He's helping Nicodemus separate the two. It's very elementary, Watson. It's very easy to understand this. It's not talking about baptismal regeneration. It's not talking about getting wet, and when you get wet, you get saved. You just go out in a rainstorm for that. So when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he's beginning, and he gets to the end of this, and you'll see that as we look at later. Notice it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There he separates the two. You have a physical birth, but you must have the spiritual birth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. He begins to talk about what takes place here. He talks. It's a spiritual birth. It's something that you cannot see, but it's taking place. It's he beginning to talk about the Spirit, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every man which is born of the Spirit of God, at the moment you receive Jesus Christ, indwells you. And that's what the Bible teaches. And so Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And he's confounded. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel and knowest not things? Aren't you a seminary grad? Don't you know? You're part of the Sanhedrin.
Amen.
You know, if he was here today, he'd say, dude, what's up? You should know this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's talking to a man that knew the law and knew the word, but did not know the God of the word.
Amen.
Huh? Have you ever been sitting around talking to somebody and they start spouting off about God and you as a Christian know it's not true and you're thinking, man, they don't even know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about here. And so, and he's not belittling him. He's trying to get to him. By the way, I believe Nicodemus eventually say, I believe he was saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Said, you've got the basics. Now, here I am. I'm him. I'm Jesus. If I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is what's he saying to him? He said, I'm God.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. He said, I'm deity. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you can apply it any way you want, but he's talking about being crucified on the cross. Now, we need to lift Jesus up in our lives, but lifted up, he's talking about being put on the cross here. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It says that whosoever believeth in him. Doesn't say that whosoever believeth and be baptized. That whosoever believeth and do this or that. It starts with believing. That's the whole start. That's the whole beginning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, last week we looked at what happens, what is the new birth, and what it's all about. Now, this week, why must we be born again? Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get ready. I want you to put your thinking caps on, because this first thought I'm going to give you is very deep. I mean, it's deep. Are you ready? Because God said so. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound too intelligent. I don't care. You can get it if you're 95, or you can get it if you're 5. Because God said. What's it say? Look at verse 7. What's verse 7 say? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, if God says I need to be born again, I need to find out what it is. Back in chapter 1, it tells us. In verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then verse 12 says, but as many as received him, him is Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, become part of God's family, even to them that what? Believe on his name. And so he says, ye must be born again. Why must I be born again? Because God said so.
Amen.
You say, what's the significance of that? Well, when God spoke, the worlds came into existence.
Mm-hmm.
When God spoke, the sea became like glass. When God speaks, you say, well, why do we have this storm tonight? God spoke.
Amen.
That was him. Everything that happens is God. You say, well, preacher, things happen and I'm not too keen on some. Some hurt my heart. Some are tragic. That's fine. We'll understand that by and by. But God's in there. Nothing can happen unless God allows it.
Amen.
He spoke creation into existence. Listen, let me just tell you something. That voice, the voice of God. And when God says something, we need to listen. Why must I be born again? Number one, because God said so. Number two, I want you to notice this, and it's clear, it's simple, And that's it. Matter of fact, I wrote down here, enough said. Number two, why must we be born again? Because we all possess a fallen nature. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that word disobedience means unbelief. Speaking in terms of salvation, anytime you hear the word disobedience, if you talk about the unpardonable sin, is not taking the Lord's name in vain. I saw a guy on social media. He was taking a McDonald's McNugget and dipping it in a Chick-fil-A sauce. Now, that's not the unpardonable sin. That is a sin. Okay? What's it talking about here? It's talking about disobedience. It's talking about unbelief. What does God say? What is God saying? What is Jesus saying in chapter 1 all the way through 8? We've preached on Sunday morning in the book of John. He says, you just need to believe. You just need to believe. And if I don't believe, what is that? Disobedience. And he says, you're called the children of disobedience. That means that that is your disposition. You are born into this world to be disobedient. Listen, you don't have to teach a young person to do wrong.
Amen.
It comes natural. Now you are the children of disobedience when you're born into this world. You are a sinner. That's the way you're born. When Adam sinned, he became a sinner. And his kids sinned, and his kids sinned, and their kids, all the way to you. As a matter of fact, if we could go back and turn, if I could get in back to the future mobile and go back to the Garden of Eden and get a little bit of DNA from Adam and bring it back, we could put everybody's DNA up to it and you'd have a little bit of his.
Amen. That's true, brother, yeah.
Because we're all sinners. And so, children of disobedience, we're born with a fallen nature, and God says, you may be born again and get a new nature. That's what he's saying. He's saying you've got a fallen nature, and I can give you a new nature. And that's why we have to be born again. You see, we see crime, and you know, you just think in the area of crime, you've seen it all, and then you get another story on the news, and you think, my soul. How could this happen? You know, we get the reports of the people being shot. You know, Baltimore used to be Charm City, it's Harm City now, you know, and the people killed in Chicago and all the things going on. And I think to myself, I really do, that I don't think, unless I was trying to defend my family, I could kill somebody. I really don't. Unless I had to go to war and fight as a soldier, I'd fight for my nation. I'd give my life for my nation if I had to. But let me just say something. That for somebody to take somebody's life, just easily take somebody's life, that's, you say, what is that? That's a fallen nature. That's a fallen nature. And so we are born. Why? Why must we be born again? Because we have a fallen nature. Number three, notice this. Because by nature, we're spiritually dead.
Yes, brother.
Along with that fallen nature, you are spiritually dead. John chapter 5 and verse 40. John chapter 5 and verse 40 says this, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you won't come to me, you won't believe me, you won't accept me so you can have eternal life. Again, Ephesians 2:1. We were just in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:1. It says, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, not only do you have that fallen nature, but because of that fallen nature, you are dead spiritually. You are dead spiritually. It doesn't make sense to you. Talking about reading the Bible and serving the Lord and singing the praises of God and sharing your faith doesn't make sense to those who are dead spiritually. People that are dead spiritually, they get all they can and can all they can get. They try to get a career. They take drugs. They drink alcohol. They're doing all kinds of craziness. Why? Because they think just a little bit more will give me happiness, and it never does. Never does. We're spiritually dead. 1 John 5:12 says this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. You see, we must be born again because we're dead. We're dead men, dead women walking. Why must we be born again? Let me get to this next point. Because in our fallen state, we cannot please God. We cannot please God. You say, well, preacher, what's the significance of that? Well, there's a lot of people that talk like they're Christians. By the way, I've heard people say that this is a Christian nation. I don't think so.
Amen. I agree.
Maybe once. When they talk about religion, they talk about Christians. Again, they don't know what they're talking about biblically. It's not correct. And I know a lot of good people. How many of you know a lot of good people? I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of fine people. But do they know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? That's the dividing point.
Amen.
And they can do as much as they can good. They can give me that thing, well, you know, I figure life is like a scale and my good will outweigh my bad. And I'll get myself to heaven. And you can't please God. You cannot please God unless you're in the family of God. Well, let me give you some scripture to think about. John 3 and verse 6. That which is born of the flesh. Look at our text. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh... Now he's talking about lost. They that are in the flesh, no spirituality about them, no spiritual life, cannot please God. There it is. Nothing counts as good before you're born again. So why must I be born again? Because God said so. Because I have I possess a fallen nature, because I'm spiritually dead, because I cannot please God. Now, let me finish up by saying this tonight. Why must I be born again? I must be born again because I cannot understand and enjoy the kingdom of God until I'm born again.
Amen.
I cannot understand and enjoy the kingdom of God until I'm born again. Now, look. Back at John chapter 3 in our text. Look at verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. It doesn't say go to the kingdom of God. And many people apply that and say, well, you know, that's talking about going to heaven. But let me just say something. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God changes your perception.
True, brother.
So what are you saying, preacher? Well, let me just give us this. What are you doing when you're telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? I picked up James. my niece's husband, he pastors up in Warwick, Maryland, and he was over in Annapolis dropping off his rental. He had come back through from Destin, Florida, all the way through Alabama, and all the way up home, and he wanted me to pick him up and take him across the bridge. And so I picked him up. When I picked him up, he's sitting there talking on the phone. He had his arms going. He's one of those guys. You ever seen those people? They can't talk without their arms going. I mean, are you know what I'm saying? And so he's going all, and he gets in and he's talking, and he's talking to this young man that he met at a gas station in Alabama, and shared Christ with him and left his number, and the young man called him back. And so he got in a truck, and from getting in a truck in Annapolis and going over the bridge, when we got over the bridge, the young man was trusting Christ as his personal Savior.
Amen. Awesome.
Okay. Now, what was James doing? Well, you say he was witnessing. But really what he was doing, he was being a help to God filling his kingdom. You see, that's perception. When you understand that sharing your faith is, it's more than just saying, I'm seeing, you're part of God filling his kingdom. Now you say, preacher, are we the kingdom people? Really the kingdom people are the Jews? And we will be part of God's kingdom, but the kingdom is not here now. It's not here now. But we understand, we begin to understand. And let me say it this way, we begin to understand the things of God. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so if you're born again, you can understand the Word of God. You can understand the things of God. And then secondly, let me make this point, because one day we're going to enjoy heaven. Amen? One day we're going to be with God. One day there's going to be no more sickness, no death, no COVID in heaven. Amen? And a lot of other things. Probably no cats. Amen. But a lot of things. But heaven's going to be good. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want you to think about that. The stars. You look up at the stars and they're beautiful, and you say, I know who made them. He's my Father. I look at a beautiful flower and how it bursts with all these. All these colors, and you say, wow, I know who made that. And so we need to understand the heavenly and spiritual things. Heavenly and spiritual things are spiritually understood. And you can't understand them unless you're born again. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man... The word natural means person that is not born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, why must I be born again? Well, because God said so. Because I'm spiritually dead. Because I have a fallen nature. Because I cannot please God, and because I can understand the things of God until I'm born again. Amen?
Amen.
Now, are you born again? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? This message is not only to fortify, but it's to challenge and convict if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior.
Amen.
It's important that we understand what happened when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, when a baby's born, I was thinking about this in essence, in thinking about a baby in relation to a baby. When a baby's born, they get air. That's all they know. They air, and next thing you know, they know mama. And they know food. And it's pretty elementary for a lot of years, and then all of a sudden, they grow up. You know, and they learn all those things, but it's, you really don't understand. And then you go to school and you take biology class, you take science class, and you understand what the body we have and how it works and the incredible thing that it is, and all those things. And when you get saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you don't know all those things. You don't know what justification is and regen. You don't know what we're these things are what you learn afterwards about what God did. The main thing is that you believe, and when you believe, you can be born again. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Hands all over. You're here and you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I need to be. Anybody here like that? Anybody? Now, speaking to Christians, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? You know, the thing about looking at salvation, we look back, and even though we're looking at the basic things, it shows us things that should be operative in our life. We should be understanding the Word of God. We should be understanding the things of God. We should be sharing Christ with others. We should be learning more about Jesus. I want to ask you, if God spoke to your heart tonight, I want to ask you to get alone with Him and do business with Him. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, bless the invitation, and we pray that You'd work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As Chris sings the hymn of invitation, if God spoke to your heart, you come and get alone with Him.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See all the portals, He's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home.
We'll deal with him. He's done. Well, amen. Good to see you. 2 more days of school and you got a weekend, guys. Y'all been working hard today. You're just tired. Did you go in person? Are y'all going to school in person? Y'all have to wear masks in school? Okay. Alrighty. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and close for tonight. Good to see everybody. Brother Mortley, close for us, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you for that message. Dear God, thank you for that teaching. It was a blessing to me, dear God. And I thank you for each time we come here, we get something from you, Lord. Lord, it's probably still raining outside. Just give us Trevor Mercy home and let us come back Sunday, dear Father. And have each and every one of us, dear Father, to make the effort to talk to somebody, at least give somebody a gospel truck about you. It's only in our prayer.
Amen.